Welcome, friends. You are listening to the Mind Body Alchemy Podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Miramontes. This is where intuition meets education in the realms of spirituality, fitness, mindset, and more, all to create lasting change. Welcome back to the podcast, and thank you so much for being here. Today, we are going to talk about something that is so popular right now, so in your face, in the media, all over the place. All your favorite celebrities are doing it. We are talking about weight loss injections and about the pros and cons, because a lot of people are talking about this, but not necessarily in the way that you need to hear it. Now, I am not going to shit on these drugs. I'm going to give you a very balanced way of thinking about these things. At least I feel like it's a balanced way of thinking about it. If you don't, cool. Send me a message. Let's have a chat about it. I would love to know what I left out or what I could have done differently. So what are these medications? You have probably heard them called Ozempic, Semaglutide, Zepbound, Mounjaro, things like that. And they are all very similar slash the same, a few changes here and there, but ultimately they all do the same thing. They are GLP-1 antagonists medications, which cause your brain to think that you're full, and they slow down the emptying of your stomach so that you actually are fuller for a longer period of time. The reason that I won't shit on them is because, I mean, we have been down this road before. Let's be honest. I was someone who at a very young age took Fen-Phen and then they pulled it off the market. I had lost a bunch of weight, finally got a little bit of a self-esteem, false feet, of course, external self-esteem, not internal self-esteem. And when they took it away, I was devastated. And of course I gained my weight back. I felt very insecure, blah, blah, blah. So I am cautious about this set of medications. It has been on the market for quite some time now in various different ways. So there is a bit of a track record when it comes to safety. However, I still look at them as fairly new, especially at the volume that they are currently being prescribed, the volume in which people are currently using them. When the sample size of people get larger, then we have more information, and generally the common side effects start to become more and more obvious, more and more clear, and we have a better picture of what's really going on. So I'm looking forward to all of this information in the coming years. But the reason why I don't think that it's a good idea as someone who is in the health and fitness space to shit on these medications is because I know how hard weight loss is. I know the difficulties that come with trying to create and maintain and sustain healthy eating habits. I know what it's like to constantly be obsessing about food and what kind of food I should be eating and how much food I should be eating and counting my calories and my macros and just feeling like it is taking up so much real estate in my brain, so much time, so much energy. So I know this is one of those mentally, physically, and emotionally draining things that we take on as a person, as an individual, but also as a society. And we also need to think about how society treats people who live in larger bodies and how difficult it is to live in a larger body in this world that just values certain body types, thinness. And those trends, my friends, are coming back. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. I talked about it somewhat on the last podcast episode as well. Then we have your environment, which influences your desire to eat, as well as your emotions and access to food in general, which is pretty high for the majority of us. Making nutritious and satisfying meals can be really time consuming, and all of this food is just there. We aren't really taught how to regulate our emotions, how to process our emotions, how to work through our emotions. And so a lot of us have learned how to use food as a way to self-soothe, as a way to distract, procrastinate, overcome overwhelm or boredom. It's not a very good strategy. Obviously, there are long-term consequences, both with the weight gain and the health implications, but also with not getting your shit done and not being very emotionally resilient. So we've got problems on all sides. I find these drugs to be quite interesting because as more people start using them, we see more and more side effects, but we're also seeing more and more unexpected positives that I think are worth talking about and worth knowing. And because I am someone with ADHD and I have experienced chasing dopamine, which we all have experienced chasing dopamine, we've got these cheap forms of dopamine, they're in our cell phones, on our TV, all the things. But when it comes to food in particular, chasing that dopamine, well, it turns out a lot of people are experiencing less food noise, less dopamine driving behaviors. It's helping with addiction. It's helping reduce binge eating for a lot of folks. And so there are some very interesting things happening if people can experience less food noise and less binge eating, and they are struggling less with their emotions and things like that, then it might be easier to make healthier choices. They may have less dopamine seeking behavior. The health benefits are probably going to outweigh the negatives in a lot of cases when it comes to losing weight, particularly if you have a lot of weight to lose and you're experiencing consequences of that. And these drugs may encourage folks to make healthier choices and actually exercise. I've seen a lot of that. I've been hanging out a lot on the forums. I've been reading a lot about this. I've been listening to the people that I know in my life who are taking these medications. And when they first came out, I initially just had kind of this reaction. I won't lie. I was very nervous because, as I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, we have been down this road before. I know what it feels like to have hope and to have something be a quote unquote quick fix, an easier way out, and then have that taken away, see some success, and then feel so much worse when you regain the weight that you wish you had never lost a pound in the first place, because now you know what it's like to be thinner. People are complimenting you. You're feeling more secure. Clothes are fitting better. All the things that society wants you to believe are important. And then the weight comes piling back on and you immediately start thinking everyone is judging you. Some people definitely are. You immediately start feeling like a failure. All of these issues start to rise up in your emotional state in addition to your physical state. And there is still a risk with these drugs that I want to talk about in this episode. So you can come after me if you want to. I'm cool with it. I just think that this conversation needs to be had in both a positive way and a more realistic way, because this is a nuanced topic. And if you are someone who is in the fitness profession, the health and nutrition profession, and you are shitting on these drugs without doing any kind of thoughtful research, any kind of understanding about where your clients are when they're thinking about these things, then you are missing the mark in a big way. And I have seen a lot of fitness people in the comments on Instagram, in the Reddit forums, all over the internet, talking about how people should just toughen up, people should have more discipline, they should have more grit, they're looking for the easy way out, shitting on these people, judging them, instead of trying to have compassion and empathy for where they are. All that tells me is you have probably never been where they are. You don't understand what it's like. You didn't spend all of your time, energy, and effort trying to lose weight, and you're someone who believes that maybe they just don't want it bad enough if they're not willing to. But that is all bullshit. I have also seen fitness professionals and industry professionals start to be afraid that this is going to take money out of their pockets because people are no longer going to need them if they can lose weight on their own. And I just think that is such a narrow and small view of what this is, about what health is, about what a coach is, about what getting this mentorship and support actually is for, because it's not just about watching the number go down the scale. I know that that seems to be the rewarding thing. If you are in a desperate place to lose weight, you kind of get addicted to watching that scale go down. You use that as a measure of your progress, maybe as the only measure of your progress, but you still have to live in this body. And what that means is that being smaller is not the key to happiness. While you may have better thoughts about your body if your body is smaller, you might have a little bit more confidence when you get dressed, you might feel a little bit better about the clothes you wear or about going out or whatever. Weight loss doesn't give that to you. Being in a smaller body doesn't give that to you. It's the way that you're thinking that changes. And so our thoughts create our feelings. You have new thoughts about your body. You have new feelings about your body. And that creates an environment for you to feel better about yourself, more confident, do more things. That doesn't mean that you are necessarily going to be happy just because you are thinner. Ask me how I know. I have worked with so many people and I've experienced this myself where I have lost weight or they have lost weight. And at the end of their weight loss journey, they were still picking apart their body. They were still wishing it looked different. They were still finding flaws. They were thinking it would feel different than it does. So when it comes to weight loss, being smaller is not the end all be all. And being smaller for the sake of being smaller is not necessarily health promoting either, even though a lot of people are making this decision from a health standpoint. They want to be healthier, so they are taking this drug so they can be healthier. However, as optimistic as I am about this medication, I have my concerns, especially for people who are getting older, right? Because body fat can be metabolically protective. So if you have a lot of fat to lose, the consequences metabolically are not going to show up until you have lost a pretty significant amount of that fat. The number, who knows? There's not an exact number for it. Everybody is different. Biology is different. Physiology, all of these individual differences are there, but chances are you can get into a pretty deep deficit if you have a lot of body fat to lose without these major metabolic consequences. But over time, those consequences are going to add up. And the closer you get to your goal weight, the larger those consequences can be. So if you are someone who is taking these drugs and it obliterates your appetite, you no longer have the desire to eat like you used to, and you're eating very little, then your consequences of having poor nutrition habits are going to rise to the surface. They are going to come up. And this is a problem because rapid weight loss is rapid weight loss. It is not necessarily a healthy thing to do because the body doesn't just lose fat. When we think about weight loss, at least in this podcast context, in who I talk to, most people want fat loss, not just weight loss, which leaves them with a leaner physique, more muscular, quote unquote, toned, if you will, using mainstream media's way of describing things. And they want to be more fit looking. They don't just want to be a smaller version of what they already have. And so if you are under eating, chronically under eating, and the habits that you have are to eat a lot of convenience foods and not necessarily very nutritious foods, and you continue to have those habits of the kinds of foods that you're eating, and you're eating very little of them, well, you're not going to have the nutrition that you need to support your body for energy, for nutrients. There's not going to be a whole lot of pleasure in eating either. And so my first concern is, are we getting enough food, period? Because if you lose weight really rapidly, chances are you're going to lose more muscle than you would like. And muscle is metabolically expensive in comparison to fat. So the body will dump off more muscle if you aren't using it, if it doesn't have a reason to hold on to it. So first and foremost, are we getting enough food? If we aren't getting enough food, we aren't getting enough nutrition, and we aren't going to have the energy to take good care of ourselves. Are you feeling well enough to exercise? Now, this matters. Weight loss is mostly about your diet. But as I talk about this a little bit more, you're going to understand why exercise is so important. So if we're not getting enough food, we don't have enough energy, we're not going to be exercising. And then the next thing that is on my list of concerns is, are you able to get enough protein? Again, back to muscle mass. We want to be able to maintain as much muscle mass as possible when we're losing weight. And that helps us to get leaner without sacrificing body composition goals and looking better at the end of this and being healthier overall metabolically. In order to do those things, we need to make sure that we are maintaining our muscle mass and not just dumping it for the sake of weight loss, which leads me to the next thing. Are we strength training? If you are someone who doesn't already have a habit of strength training or resistance training in some way, then you are probably going to get on the treadmill. You're probably going to be doing a bunch of cardio to try to speed up this weight loss. I've seen people use these injections as another way to extreme diet. And so they use really extreme approaches to their nutrition. They also are exercising the way that they would exercise if they were going on some diet. And a lot of people still believe that doing cardio is the key to fat loss. And again, it is not. It burns calories, but it's not that simple. Some studies show that 30 to 40% of the weight lost on these medications was lean mass, your muscle mass, which is 25 to 50% more muscle mass loss than if you had simply just dieted. And I think that that is probably mostly due to the fact that you are just really under eating. You're not hungry anymore. And so because you're not hungry, because you don't have the same level of food noise, it's different than if you were just dieting, because if you're just dieting, chances are you're losing weight more slowly. So the body has an opportunity to dump more fat. And if you lose weight really rapidly, it's going to ditch your muscle. Another reason why it is so important to maintain your muscle mass is because if you go off this medication, and many people will, or if something happens to where they take the medication off the market, well, if you are really under eating, and your appetite comes roaring back, and it will, then you will gain weight rapidly. But guess what you don't do? You don't gain weight rapidly in the same way that you lost it. If you lost a ton of muscle mass, that does not mean you just get your muscle mass back. Instead, you gain a disproportionate amount of body fat compared to the muscle that you lost. Because you're rapidly eating, it is much easier to create body fat than it is to create muscle tissue. Again, metabolically expensive versus metabolically cheap energy and tissues. And so the body is just going to be really, really efficient and good at creating more body fat, storing more body fat. And so you will end up with more fat than had you never gone on this drug in the first place. Basically, you don't just get to go back to where you started. And because you underate so profoundly, your metabolic rate has been slowed down. And so the amount of weight that you gain is going to be disproportionate compared to how much you're eating. So let's just say that you were overeating a little bit before and you were slowly gaining weight, maybe 5 or 10 pounds per year. Well, if you undereat and your metabolic rate reduces to the amount of food that you're eating, because it has to do that, it has to slow your body's needs down so you don't starve to death, then when you start eating again like a normal version of you, like the old overeater version of you, or even eating to what used to be maybe maintenance for you, because your metabolism is reduced down to the new level, the weight gain is going to be rapid. You're no longer going to be gaining that 5 to 10 pounds. That 5 to 10 pounds is now going to be 10 to 20 or more because of the reduced energy intake. But what about the health benefits? We talked a little bit about the health benefits outside of weight loss, and there are also improved blood sugar and improved health markers and things like that on these medications. People are really seeing improved labs. Is that because they are no longer overeating, or is it because of the medication, or is it a combination of these things, or are they starting to take a little bit better care of themselves? Like, do they have to drink a little more water? Apparently these medications increase your need for water intake. Who knows? There are a lot of things that are probably playing into this here. But if you go off the medication, research has shown that the health benefits that you receive from being on the medication also reverse as the appetite increases and your food intake increases. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who goes off the medication is going to immediately rebound. Some people don't completely rebound. They just gain a little bit of the weight back. Some people are able to maintain and sustain their habits after going off the medication, but you still are going to have some of that food noise return. It really depends a lot on why you gained the weight in the first place, what your habits looked like before, and how different they are over time, and what you do while you're on the medication. And I know I'm painting kind of a grim picture here. It's important that you understand all sides of this. And when I sit here and talk about nutrition and I talk about protein, what sucks about this is that I am someone who teaches weight loss in a different way. I don't teach calorie counting. I don't teach macro counting. Everyone who listens to me probably already knows that it's important to eat your vegetables and get your protein in. Many of you already work out, lift weights, those kinds of things. And so you see the value in those things. But because I teach habit-based weight loss and not calorie counting and macro-based weight loss or diet-based weight loss, then I'm over here talking about protein and things like that. And listen, the reason that I'm doing that is because when your appetite is reduced, when it's profoundly reduced, think about being full and then being offered a steak when you are full. Chances are it's not going to be all that appealing to you. any protein source is going to be really satiating, and it's probably not going to be all that sexy. You might feel like you have room for a handful of potato chips or a cookie or something like that, something convenient, something easy, but it's going to be a real struggle to get down substantial amounts of protein. And because I teach habit-based weight loss, I want you eating when you're hungry, stopping when you have reached the satisfied point, not when we're full, and definitely not when we're stuffed. And I don't want you eating all day. Well, when you are taking these medications, they have blunted your appetite. I am hoping that they don't blunt your appetite so much that you don't experience hunger. And I was listening to an interview the other day where somebody was talking about how their partner went back to increase their dose because some of their hunger had returned. And I just thought, wow, it is so important for us to experience hunger. That is a biological norm. No, we don't want to be obsessing about food all day. We don't want all of our thoughts to be centered around food. We don't want 70% of our thoughts to be about food like dieters experience. But some hunger is a good thing. That is your body signal of saying, hey, we need more energy. And as this person went on to describe the way that they were eating and the food choices that they were making and trying to get all this low calorie stuff in, and I was just rolling my eyes because that is not the way to do it. We need healthy habits that are going to be sustainable long term, regardless of whether you can afford to stay on this medication or not, regardless of whether or not the medication stays available to you. I mean, I think that it's going to. I think that the medication is going to be around, but do we know the cumulative effects of staying on it for 10 or 20 or 30 years? Do we even need to stay on it that long? There's still a lot of unanswered questions here, at least for me. I could definitely go about researching this even more. I could probably learn even more. I'm sure somebody has a lot more answers than I do, and that's cool. But what I do know is even though it's starting to have a bit of a track record of safety and there's a large sample size, we don't have the longevity behind us to see what this looks like in a large population long term. And I'm waiting for that information. The last thing I want for anyone is to be afraid of their biological signals that are absolutely normal. Imagine being afraid that you had to pee, or imagine being afraid that you were cold and your body was just letting you know that you should probably go inside or put a jacket on. We don't want to erase our physical signals. They are important. So taking enough of these medications to obliterate those signals or to get really rapid weight loss is not the way to go about it if you want sustainable transformation that actually makes you feel better and look better long term. And if you start getting certain side effects or there are other reasons why you might need to stop taking the medication, you want to make sure that your habits are healthy and solid so that you can rely on those for sustainable weight loss or the maintenance of your weight loss. Another concern that I have is all about body image and unrealistic beauty standards. We're seeing a shift away from body positivity and body acceptance, like I said in my last episode, and primarily fat acceptance. This isn't just about those living in larger bodies. We got such wonderful relief from the pervasive thin ideal, skinny at any cost that we've suffered through for so long. And when body diversity was being celebrated by the media, both emotionally and on a practical level, we were feeling better. We got fashion brands to increase their size range. There was more accessibility and so on. And so those benefits, I fear, are going to start reducing more and more and more. And not everybody needs to be on these drugs. Not everybody can be on these drugs for a variety of reasons. And I don't want to see our humanity be reduced because the media is showing this easy access, thin ideal that promotes this very, very thin aesthetic. And it doesn't mean that thin bodies are wrong, big bodies are wrong. There is no right or wrong body. Body diversity is a thing. All I'm saying is that when we glamorize one type of body, then we punish people for not being in that body. And so it is more expensive to try to be in that body. It's more demanding on people's time to try and get in that body. It is more emotionally exhausting to try and get in that body because that is not your body. We should all be able to just be our natural weight. It's where we feel best, where we have energy, where we are enjoying our life, where we're enjoying our food, and we don't have the health consequences of over or under eating. So I do have some worries about the future of body image and perception, because I think that more and more and more people are getting access to this drug. I was sitting in my doctor's office the other day and I saw no less than 30 people go in and out to get their medication. And I was just in the waiting room for about 20 minutes. And so it's really interesting to see this happening. And again, I am not trying to shit on it in any way, shape, or form. I just want people to be really thoughtful and take a bird's eye view. How long do I want to be on this medication? Why do I want to be on it? Will it help me long term? What is my long term strategy? What if it has to be removed from the market or I have to remove it from my life? Can I afford it? It is getting more and more affordable, but it's not for everyone. And that is the thing that makes it really tough. If we say, hey, everyone should be a certain size, a certain aesthetic, a certain look, then we're right back to where we started with struggling with body image, struggling with self-esteem, struggling with confidence, and doing extreme approaches, trying to get this unattainable body that only the privileged have access to. Now, it's no secret that I had breast implants. I had my breast implants removed, and I love that decision. Love that for me. And I follow my cosmetic surgeon on Instagram, and I have seen a lot of promotion for this medication by plastic surgeons and cosmetic surgeons, and I find that really fascinating. So when we think about who is benefiting from the mass marketing of this medication, we have to include cosmetic surgeons. We are seeing a lot of stuff go around on social media and on the internet that's saying, oh, it's Ozempic face and it's Ozempic butt and things like that. Or really, it's semaglutide face and semaglutide butt. And what that means is just rapid weight loss, rapid muscle loss. The skin elasticity is not there. And so people are looking more gaunt and older and the skin is sagging and they're having a hard time. And the plastic surgeons and cosmetic surgeons are really definitely benefiting from that. There is a huge boom in weight loss clinics. They are definitely benefiting from that. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's why my doctor's office no longer takes insurance so that they don't have to be under that umbrella to really pump out these weight loss medications. I can't prove that. I haven't done enough research on it, but I kind of think that's what's going on. So now I'm paying for my health insurance and I have to pay a fee to be part of my doctor's practice, even though I'm not on the medications for weight loss. So really interesting. Black market manufacturers of these medications and compounding pharmacies for these medications are all benefiting. And with all of that, there is going to be some greed. There are predatory practices. Without the guidance and sustainable strategies, we are leaving people uneducated, unsupported, and not knowing how to take good care of themselves. If you spend any time in some of these forums on Reddit or elsewhere on the internet, you will see the extreme approaches that people are combining with these medications just to get the weight off as fast as possible because they aren't hungry anymore. So we're walking down disordered eating territory, and I definitely have my concerns about that. We're also seeing that there are trials and testing being done on kids, really, really young kids. I have my concerns about that as well, but I haven't done enough research to really clarify my thoughts on that. I don't want to comment too much about that. All I know is that this conversation is not going away. And so we need to be having it in a way that is honest. And if I was going to start over my weight loss journey and I had access to these medications, I definitely would have been first in line years ago to take them before I had the ability to regulate my emotions, before I knew it was driving my eating habits and behaviors. I'm so grateful that I have strong, healthy habits now, but I definitely would have been first in line for it. And I don't know that I would have been better off for it because I wouldn't have had this foundation that I currently have. So if I were to start over with the knowledge that I have now, and I was going to be on those medications, then here's how I would do it. I would make sure that I was weight training. If I was too sick to exercise, it would be a non-starter for me because if you don't exercise and take good care of yourself, then chances are you are going to struggle with the results that you get and you probably aren't going to have the health benefits in the same way. Now, that is for someone who is my size, someone who has to weigh the benefit versus cost of being obese, for example, might need to make a different decision. I was pretty overweight, but overall, my labs were okay. They were healthy. And that probably has to do with the fact that I was exercising, eating my vegetables, whatever. So everybody kind of has to weigh and measure their own stuff here. They have to think about this in their own way. The other thing that I would do is I would make sure that I could figure out a way to get good nutritious food in regularly so I didn't lose my muscle mass, so that I didn't reduce my metabolism. Because as we age, that becomes more and more important. Maintaining muscle mass becomes more and more important. And I'm not talking about getting older as in retirement age. I'm talking about like 30s, 40s, 50s, and then beyond. Of course, the older we get, the more it is important to consider maintaining your muscle mass. And so I would be strength training. I would be taking good care of my health. I would be making sure that I could get nutritious food in, and I would make sure that I was keeping my hunger signals in. I would not want to be on a medication dose that obliterated them and removed them completely. That would be a no for me. That would not feel healthy. That would not feel good. And it's not sustainable long term. It's just asking for trouble. And the last thing that I would be doing is making sure that I was meeting my emotional needs. I would be a champion for self-care. I would be journaling, because I already do, and it's important. I would be making sure that I was checking in on my stress, on my feelings, on all of these things that food tends to be a coping mechanism for. I would want to make sure that my habits were in place for nutrition and for my mental and emotional health. Because even though this drug can reduce your appetite and reduce the food noise and all the things and may help you be a little bit more grounded in that way, because food doesn't appeal to you anymore, I have seen a lot of folks go on these medications and start emotionally eating again, just like they did with weight loss surgery. There are people who had literally their stomach reduced in size and started emotionally eating, forcing past that discomfort signal, forcing past their body, begging them not to have another bite because they hadn't figured out how to regulate emotionally. The same thing is happening with this medication. Over time, that initial benefit starts to wear down a little bit, which is normal, as it should. And people panic about that because their emotional needs aren't being met. They're still underneath the surface and they're finding themselves back in the refrigerator, back in the pantry, meeting those emotional needs. The reality is, I wouldn't be doing things much different than I already am, because these drugs don't lose weight for you. You still have to be someone who loses the weight and learns how to keep it off for life in a way that makes you feel good, because that is the whole point. I will tell you that my journey through weight loss has been very healing for me. It has really taught me a lot about myself. It has forced me to dig really deep into my emotional barriers and my struggles and why I was eating and why I ended up overweight in the first place. And I will tell you that my dieting history from the time I was very young really catapulted that and reinforced that struggle for me. Had I never dieted, I probably would be in a very different position right now, but I am so grateful for the position I'm in because I get to have these wonderful conversations with all of you. And the truth is, you still need healthy habits. You still need goal-supporting habits. You can't just take a drug and expect a miracle. While it may make it a lot easier to stop overeating, there will always be this gap, this struggle with your emotions, with this desire to cope that needs to be faced, that needs to be looked at, that needs to be worked on if you want to sustain your transformation in a way that is meaningful, in a way that feels good to you. Most people think that weight loss is the golden ticket, and I will tell you, it can produce more confidence for you, but again, that is only because you think more confidence-producing thoughts when you have lost the weight. It's not that straightforward. So I'm just really going to encourage you, if you are considering this medication or one of these medications, no shade, no judgment. I hear you. I would love to coach with you. I have clients who are using this medication. I am helping them make sure that they are doing it in the way that is healthiest for their body and their mind, so that at the end of the day, they can feel really good about the way that they went about this. If there's a way to make weight loss easier, I am all for it, as long as at the end of your journey, you feel really good about yourself, you feel really good in your skin, and you're doing your work. That is what this is all about. That is what I work with my clients on. I don't tell them how many grams of protein to be eating. I don't tell them how to count their calories. I have them delete their MyFitnessPal and calorie counting apps. I don't give them a meal plan. Most people understand what healthy eating is and what it's not, but we really work on the reasons why you are overeating in the first place. We work on unraveling those ties to food and help you meet your emotional needs in other ways. Develop the healthy eating habits that your body was designed for, the way that your body communicates with you. this is a really big conversation. We may have to have it more than once in a very different way. I just wanted to kind of cover the basics here. I want to cover what I'm excited about, or at least encouraged by, and what I am concerned about, what I caution people about when it comes to being on these medications, how to make the most out of your medication journey. If you are losing weight really rapidly, chances are the consequences are going to be higher. And of course, that is very much dependent on where you started and how much weight you have to lose and things like that, which is why it's always really good to work with a professional who knows your story, who knows what's good for you, and can help you make those decisions. I think that a lot of doctors are leaving people aimless and without these pieces of information. And the reason I know that is because I've been on the forums and I've been reading some bullshit, and that bullshit is terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying. So it is our job, those of us who are in the fitness industry, in the health promoting space, in the nutrition space, to help people, to fill in those gaps. Because right now, there is no way that people are being educated and informed on how to create these strong health promoting habits with the rate at which these things are being prescribed and the time that people are spending in the doctor's offices getting them. No way. All right, that is all I have for you today. If you are interested in this topic, if you want to blow up my inbox and tell me how wrong I am, or how ridiculous I am, or how I'm promoting unhealthy things because I don't hate the idea of weight loss injections, or that I am being too hard on them and I don't know what I'm talking about, I am totally down for it. My inbox is always open. I would love to hear from you and have that discussion. I've got lots of great stuff coming for you in 2024. So make sure you are on the email list so you don't miss a thing. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, do the cool thing by leaving a rating and review. It helps me so much more than you know. A no-cost way to support me in this work is to share it, screenshot the episode, share it on social media, and tag me so that I can come by and say thanks. And if you have questions or thoughts on this episode, ideas for a future episode, or want to know how we can work together one-on-one, my inbox is always open for you. All that contact information is in the show notes. The doors to Unstuffed, the online group coaching program, is going to be open at the end of April. So you want to make sure that you get on the interest list if that is something that you have had on your mind, or if you're just curious about it. It's no obligation, but we would love to give you some information and make sure that you can make an informed choice. So that is also in the show notes. You can take the weight loss psychology quiz, learn whether or not your dieting style is more permitter or restrictor, and get the information that you need to support you while you wait for those doors to be open. Again, absolutely free, no obligation. And I will see you next week. Bye.